Hi, I'm Pinakin Munshi, and we are going to now cover chapter 14, which covers SAP material management module. So as part of the agenda, we will cover the introduction, the SAP database and master data, features of SAP MM module, which is a materials management module, SAP MM organizational structure, SAP MM procure to pay process, the screen overview and the major transaction codes, and finally the summary. So coming to the introduction, SAP MM is a part of the logistics function and it helps in managing the procurement activities of an organization. So here, when we say materials management, it deals entirely or majorly with the materials, and the materials can be anything from the raw materials to the finished product. So if let's say you are doing a trading activity, then even the material that you outsource or you source, so all those activities are covered by this particular module. So SAP materials management is a module in SAP ERP that focuses on material management, inventory, so even the storage of the material in the warehouse, etc., and warehouse management in the supply chain process. So this is the scope of the materials management system. It is the backbone of logistics that incorporates modules such as sales and distribution, because it's linked, you know, in terms of your material requirement planning, in terms of your available to promise. So it interfaces or interacts with sales and distribution, production planning, because any further material which has to come, finished product, comes from production planning. Also, your raw material requirement is dictated by the MRP, which is again production planning, plant maintenance, project systems, and warehousing management. So this is the scope of the materials management. It is part of SAP logistics function and consists of various components and subcomponents. The main component of SAP MM are the master data, purchasing, and inventory. So these three are the main components. Each component has its own subcomponents that are crucial for specific business processes. Transaction codes, or T codes as we call them, are used in SAP MM to process information and complete business requirement. And this is true for entire SAP ERP system. I mean, you are accessing all functions through the T codes or transaction codes. So coming to SAP database and master data, SAP MM module has its own master data that is essential for creating various records and can be used across different functional areas. So for example, you are maintaining the material data in the material master. It can be the raw material, it can be your finished product. The same data can be used in SD module. The same data can also be used in some other modules. So this is what we mean by the master data, which is in MM module, can be accessed by the other modules as well as the functions. So can be used across different functional areas. Master data in SAP MM serves as the foundation for any transaction and is required for activities such as production, stock transfer, sales, purchase, and physical inventory. So we have discussed this in the earlier chapter also, that you know, you require the material in the form of a raw material or an intermediate in case of production. Stock transfer, if you have to transfer stock from one stock point or sale point to another one. For example, let's say you have got multiple warehouses, you know, there are warehouses which is in the manufacturing unit, there are warehouses which are nearer to the market. So many a times you are required to transfer stocks. So that also is handled by this particular module. Sales purchases, purchase is one of the key function of the materials management module, and physical inventory, because naturally your warehouse and the inventory management is majorly part of MM module. Examples of master data in SAP MM include material master data, customer master data. I have a doubt on this customer master data because customer master data is part of the SD function. Vendor master data, yes, because just as you have the customer master, you also have the vendor master. And in vendor master also, you have the vendor location from where the sale is happening, actual physical location from where the goods are arriving. For example, the manufacturer can have multiple factories or warehouses from where material is being supplied. So the vendor master will capture all this information. Pricing. So just as we have pricing for sale, we have pricing for purchase as well. So pricing conditions, master data, and the warehouse management master data, that is the storage bin master data. So we have also seen the storage location in the previous SD function. You have the warehouse management where you also have the bin identification, which is more like a micro information on the storage of materials. Material master data contains information about the materials or the product. So when we say material, they could be raw material, they can be intermediates, sub-assemblies, spares, etc. And products, generally we use it for the finished goods or even semi-finished goods, including description, attributes, and categorization. So you can have different master data maintained for similar kind of product, but having different attributes. Like you have a car, so you have a red car and a black car and a blue car and a silver car, correct? So these are the attributes. Or even you have different models like the V or the VX or the SX, So these are the attributes. And similarly, your products also can have this kind of attributes based on the quality or other attributes. They can be categorized differently. Customer master data includes details about customers such as contact information, payment terms, and credit limits. Again, as I said, this is actually part of the sales and distribution function. Vendor master data consists of information about vendors, suppliers, including address, payment terms, and delivery preference. So whether it is you're asking for door delivery or you're asking them to deliver material to you through your nominated transporter, or they have to just book it in a transporter and you have to pick up the material from the transporter. Pricing conditions, master data contains pricing and condition information. Condition means many a places the price can vary depending upon the volumes being purchased. So if you're buying even, let's say, material in a 50 kg packing, the price can be different from 200 kg packing. Or you're buying 1-ton material, the price could be different if you went for a 3-ton or a 5-ton kind of a quantity, or you went for a full truckload. So all these conditions are maintained in the pricing table or the pricing condition master. Even agreements and discounts. Many a times you enter into an agreement with the supplier for a period of 6 months, 1 year, or it could be just 1 month. So there are some special discounts, etc., which are applicable to you. These all can be maintained in the masters so that, automatically the system will apply the correct price or the agreement imposed prices in the purchase order. Warehouse management master data, specifically the storage bin master data, helps manage and organize inventory within the warehouse. Now, we have seen the storage location. So it will tell you that, yes, it is there in the raw material warehouse. Now, the raw material warehouse, let's say, is got an area of 20,000 square feet. So where are you going to look for the material? And this is where the warehouse management system will tell you exactly in which bin. Now, normally you have seen warehouses have the racking system. The materials are actually placed on pallets, and then with a forklift or a high reach truck, these are stacked into the racks. And the racks generally have something like six or seven rungs. Okay. So it's very difficult to, you know, actually locate the material, but the warehouse management system will tell you where the material is stored, so that the person who is responsible for retrieving the data, he will immediately be able to go and retrieve the material. Features of the SAP MM module. So it encompasses both material management and inventory management processes. So material management, mainly the procurement part, and the inventory management is basically the inventory which is held in your jurisdiction. It ensures a smooth flow of material throughout the supply chain, avoiding any shortage. So when you are talking of procurement, you are ensuring that the material is arriving in time so that it's available for manufacturing activity or for trading activity. The module helps streamline material management and procurement activities, leading to improved efficiency. So how does it contribute to efficiency? One, it makes material available as and when required. Number two, it optimizes the amount of inventory being held so that you don't have any obsolescence, and you also have minimum working capital which is blocked in the form of physical material. By providing tools and functionalities, it enables organizations to increase productivity and reduce the cost. So we already saw that how you increase productivity is through availability, as and when you require the material for production or sale, and reduce the cost by reducing your working capital. Also by reducing the non-value-adding costs when the material is being procured. So while also adapting to frequent changes in the business environment. So the demand can vary, the requirement of the material can vary. With new models, new products, you may have to even change the nature of material being procured. So the system has to cope up with all such changes. It supports various critical business aspects, including procurement, master data management, material valuation, inventory management, invoice verification, and material requirement planning. So what does it mean? The critical business aspect is like one is procurement, master data management. This is fairly simple. Procurement is basically release of purchase orders, etc. Master data is more or less static, unless you are changing the specifications of the material or the attributes. Material valuation, now this is very important. Now you have a material which is very volatile in nature. That means the prices of these materials are fluctuating. Mind you, how you value your inventory, because 1 month you bought the material at 100 rupees a kg and the second month you are buying the material at 120 rupees a kg, you want the system to value it correctly so that your business is not put to a disadvantage. Suppose it values it too high, then your product costing will reflect on the higher side, giving you the impression that you are making less profit, forcing you to increase your prices. If it reflects on the lower side, you may think that your product is cheaper, but it's not. And you may be losing money when you think that you're profitable. So the material valuation is an important aspect of materials management. Inventory management, we have already seen. Invoice verification. So when the supplier raises the invoices have to be verified before they are paid. And the other part is the material requirement planning. So based on the forecast, the system will work out what are the physical material available already in the system and what additional material need to be procured and when they need to be procured. So this also is handled by the materials management. It plays a vital role in managing the end-to-end process of acquiring, storing, and delivering the materials needed for production or services in an organization. So it can be, it acquires the material, stores the material, takes care to see there is no degeneration, damage to the material, and delivers the material to the plant or the process, or if it's a finished goods, then makes it available for sale you know, whenever it is required. So for production or services, the third part is, you know, for trading activities. So what is the organization structure? The enterprise structure in SAP MM module is an essential framework that mirrors the organizational structure of the company. So it consists of multiple level of arranged in a hierarchical manner, each with its own set of functionalities. So what are the levels, organizational levels? So one, you have the client, the company code. Now client here is something like the sales organization. So company code and the client is more or less one and the same because it's the legal entity. Then comes the plant which could be either a production site or it could be a warehousing site. So then the storage location. Storage location is under the plant. You can have multiple micro locations. You have different location for raw material, for in-process material, for semi-finished goods, for finished goods, for rejected material, which are quarantined, etc. So these are the various storage location. Then you have the purchasing organization, and then you have the purchasing group. So purchasing organization, they can be centralized. So it could be that for the company, there is one single purchasing organization, or it could be decentralized where every plant has its own purchasing organization. And then purchasing group, which can be based on the nature of the material which is being procured. We'll come to that a little later. I'll explain a little more on that. So this is the organization structure. So as you can see, right from client to company code to plant to storage location, then purchase organization. And again, as we saw in the sales and distribution, some of these levels are interchangeable. So that means, you know, you can have, you don't need to have the purchase organization below storage location. You can have a purchase organization under which comes the plant or plants and then the storage locations. So there could be purchase organization which is responsible for multiple plants, you know, as far as procurement is concerned. So client. So a client is a commercial organizational unit in a SAP system with its own set of master data and independent table set. Like I said, this is akin to the sales organization. Company code, an independent accounting unit with a client representing a legal entity. So again, it's a company for which the procurement is being done. And legal entity means, you know, it could be the public limited, private limited, or a partnership or a LLC, whatever. But it's the company code represents that. Plant and organizational entity within the company code where manufacturing, warehouses, and sales activities take place. So as I said, the plant can be a manufacturing or a warehousing facility from where sales activity can happen, because sales activity can happen even from a manufacturing unit, from a warehouse where no manufacturing is being done. So sales activities can happen from other places. Storage location, we have already talked about it. So the different units under the plant where different type of material are stored. So these are the storage location. An organizational unit within the plant that distinguishes different physical locations where materials are stocked. Purchasing organization, an organizational unit responsible for procurement activities either at the client, company, or plant level. So this is what we were talking about, that in the hierarchy, the purchase organization can be placed anywhere. It can be right at the top, below the client or the company level, or it can be at the plant level. It depends upon whether the procurement is a centralized procurement or a decentralized procurement. Purchasing group. So purchasing group is an organizational unit responsible for the everyday procurement activities within an organization. But purchasing group also can be based on the type of material. So for example, there will be one purchasing group which is defined for, let's say, engineering purchases. Another purchasing group may be responsible for only raw materials. another purchasing group may be responsible only for utilities, so like for example fuels, etc., consumables which are required, which are not necessarily raw materials. There could be another purchasing group which is responsible for traded items. That means items which are made by the affiliate, which are simply imported and sold locally, what we call as a stock and sale. So purchasing group can be defined in similar fashions. Further on the organizational structure, so different forms of purchasing can be described as follows. So centralized purchasing, purchasing organization is not assigned to any company code. It procures for all the company codes belonging to different clients. So let's say the client is the Indian entity and you have the global organization. Now there is one, let's say you are making polymers, and for the polymers you need monomers, and the monomers are required in terms of 1,000 tons per month. Now instead of decentralizing and asking every country to go and negotiate with various suppliers, in a centralized purchase they may decide that one person globally will interface with these suppliers and decide how much is to be bought from whom, from which supplier, and at what price, and those material will go to which countries. So this becomes the centralized purchasing. Now, company-specific purchasing, purchasing organization is assigned to a company code only. So let's say, and this is the system we normally follow, that in India, we have the company code and we have a purchase department which is responsible for the entire country. So whether I have two or three plants, all the purchasing is done by this purchase organization. And the third type is the plant-specific. So I have also worked in one of the organization where I was heading the supply chain. So there we had a plant specific purchasing because we had totally different material requirement and different product spread at every plant, because we were in the downstream products, we were a metallurgical company and we were making downstream products. So there it was decentralized, and the supply chain or the procurement function was responsible only for that plant. So these are the various models that we have. So now let's look at the procure to pay process. SAP procure to pay process is used for purchasing materials and services from external vendors. And this is the point to be noted. It's not always materials, it's also the services, whether it is consultants or whether it is transportation service or any kind of a service is part of the materials management. The process begins with the events related to material requirement planning, plant maintenance. So material requirement planning will be mostly for the raw materials or intermediates. Plant maintenance and other procurement needs. So plant maintenance will be mainly spares, even it will be utilities, lubricants, fuels, etc., and other procurement needs within the company. To initiate the process, a purchase requisition is created to specify the goods or resource needed. So purchase requisition can be generated either through MRP in case of raw material. In case of engineering spares, etc., they can be created by the reordering policy which has been chosen. And some places it can be even done manually. So like for example, you want to engage a consultant for some, let's say, services for GST, etc., then manual purchase requisition can be generated, which is the starting point for creating a purchase order. The process concludes when the payment to the vendor is recorded. So after you have availed the goods and the services, when you make the payment, the process is completed. The cycle is completed. Procure to pay is also known as the procurement cycle or the source to pay. There's a slight difference between procurement and sourcing. Sourcing is when you're doing the procurement for somebody else. Like for example, Indian entities who do the sourcing for their principals who may be in another country abroad.